Well, good morning. Good to see y'all today. Like Dean said, my name is Micah, and I'm the worship pastor over at Christ Church Overland Park, and I'm excited to be with you guys today. We're in a series we've been doing the last few weeks called Express Yourself, where we've been learning how to interact with God by looking at a different psalm each week. And so far, we've explored the language of trust in Psalm 23, the language of confession in Psalm 32, the language of doubt in Psalm 73, and then last week we talked about how to lament in Psalm 88. And this week we're going to talk about the language of praise that we learn from Psalm 103. And one of the things I love about the Psalms is that they show us that the people thousands of years ago when these Psalms were written, they struggled with the same sort of emotional issues that we do today. It might have been manifested, you know, in a different way than today, but we can identify with the psalm writers because we can connect with the emotions from which they wrote. And it shows us that the scriptures are still very much relevant for us today. The circumstances may have changed, but people have not. And one of the issues that the psalmist addressed over and over throughout the psalms is the times where we just don't feel like praising God, where it's hard to express ourselves in praise. And sometimes we can think that the people in the Bible, you know, maybe were much holier than we are, that they had it all together, they had no trouble obeying God and just following him and worshiping him. And it doesn't take a lot of reading through scripture, right, to see that's definitely not the case, right? They doubted, they disobeyed, they failed him. They had times where they just felt like they had no hope. There were times where, you know, even the people we see as the key heroes of the Bible, where they doubted and they felt like they didn't have a reason to praise God. Well, anytime we have trouble praising the Lord, we should turn to Psalm 103. This psalm gives us a great prescription for us to get ourselves out of a worship rut. What this psalm shows us is that often when we're having trouble praising the Lord, that it's not a worship problem, it's a remembrance problem. And what we'll see as we dive into this psalm, as we get into this, is that remembrance is the fuel for the fire of our worship. Let me say that again. Remembrance is the fuel for the fire of our worship. See, our worship is a response. When we praise God, it's a response. It's a response to who God is and what God has done. And so if we forget what God has done, then our vision of who God is becomes foggy. And our worship becomes dull. It becomes lifeless or non-existent. And in this psalm, we don't know the exact circumstances, but it's clear that David is at a place where he's not having the easiest time praising the Lord. He starts the psalm by just simply trying to encourage himself to worship. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. He's trying to coach himself up. But David knows it's not simply enough just to tell himself to praise the Lord. He goes on in verse 2 to say, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. That's a phrase we're kind of going to focus on. And as David continues, he begins to recount those benefits, to remember them, the ways that God has saved him, healed him, redeemed him, satisfied him. And you know, as David is saying these phrases, that he's got exact situations that he's remembering in his mind. These aren't just vague remembrances. And as he remembers and reminds himself more and more of God's goodness and God's blessings, his praise grows more and more to the point where the psalm ends with him calling on all the angels and all the heavenly hosts to praise the Lord. When he started, he was just simply trying to coach himself up to praise, right? To get himself to praise. But as he remembers more and more what God has done, he doesn't want the worship to be just contained within himself. He wants all of creation and all the heavens to be praising God. Well, a few months ago, our family watched an amazing documentary on Disney Plus called Cool. One person last person said, you all have homework. Watch Elephant. It's an amazing documentary. I'll tell you a little bit about it. You've probably heard the phrase, an elephant never forgets. And while this isn't literally true, it is true that elephants have this incredible ability to remember things. And the matriarchs of a herd will often remember every elephant that they've ever interacted with, friend or enemy, even if it's been over 20 years ago. And probably most importantly, the matriarchs will remember every place that the herd has found food and water in the past, and they'll pass this on to the next generation. Researchers even believe that elephants' good memories are a big part of how elephants survive and live so long. And so this, the Disney documentary, it follows a specific herd of African elephants in the Kalahari Desert. As the dry season comes each year in the Delta, millions of animals leave the area in a mass exodus, hoping to survive elsewhere until they can return. And so each year, this herd of elephants, led by the matriarch they call Gaia, travels the exact same path that their ancestors have traveled for thousands of years before them. And they make a 1,000-mile round-trip journey to the Zambezi River, to Victoria Falls, and it can take as long as 8 months. And along the way, they'll encounter all sorts of obstacles, from elephants, rival herds of elephants, to lions, to the most dangerous obstacle, the severe lack of food and water along the way. And the elephants will follow this complicated network of paths between water holes or oases. And it's amazing as they show the aerial view on the documentary of the desert. And there's nothing in the desert except you see these small water holes, you know, dozens of them as far as you can see, with kind of what looks like a man-made path or man-made road in between them. But what we find out is that these are not man-made paths, but these are actually ancient paths formed by elephants who have done the same journey for generations. And some of these small oases will have enough water for the herd to make it to the next water hole. And some, they'll come and they'll find out that it's already dried up or previous herds have consumed it all. And as they come to each of these small oases in the desert, each one is a reminder to them that for thousands of years, their ancestors have walked this path before them. There are even clusters of palm trees along the way that show them that elephant herds have been there before, because apparently, I didn't know this, but palm seeds germinate better after they've passed through an elephant. And so when these elephants see clusters of palm trees, they know, okay, elephants have been here before. We're on the right path. This is a safe place. See, if they were setting out on this journey for the first time with no sign that they'll be successful, if they had no reason to trust the matriarch Gaia, then it would feel pretty hopeless and hard to keep going. But there's comfort and confidence that comes when they see these reminders, because it helps them remember that something good lies ahead. And when they go days and hundreds of miles without drinking anything, when they're tired, they are reminded of what's to come and their hope is strengthened. And if they didn't have these ancestral memories that are passed down from generation to generation of elephants, and they didn't have these signs along the way to help them remember, no doubt they would lose their way, they would lose hope, and they would surely die. See, it's not just the water that keeps them going and helps them survive. It's the remembrance. It's the remembrance. Remembrance is the true fuel for their journey. Remembrance is a powerful tool for us when we're in the desert, when we're desperate. And thousands of years ago, there was another large group who was struggling through a long desert journey, and that's the Israelites. God had miraculously saved and rescued the people of Israel from their Egyptian oppressors. He protected them from the plagues. He parted the sea so they could pass through them, and he defeated their enemies. And yet, despite how much God had done for them, it didn't take long for the Israelites to forget the goodness of God. They wanted to give up. They even wanted to return to Egypt, to being slaves. They fought and they complained about the lack of food and water, and they even built, right, the idol, the golden calf, and they proclaimed, okay, this is the God who saved us. Forget the Lord. The Israelites were on a journey to the land that God had promised to them through Abraham centuries earlier, the promised land. And yet they had lost hope. They forgot how to praise God because they had forgotten what God had done. And as they reach the end of their 40-year journey in the desert, in Deuteronomy 8, Moses is giving them a final charge, and he encourages them and warns them not to forget God. To remember how the Lord delivered them and led them and provided for them through the desert. And in verse 19, he goes all the way in saying, if you ever forget the Lord your God and you follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, then I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Moses is saying, look, remembrance is how you will survive. Remembrance is how you will stay faithful. Remember what the Lord has done and who he is, and that's how you will obey. But if you forget what he's done, you will quickly lose your way. You'll stop worshiping God, and you'll be destroyed. Remembrance is the fuel for this journey of faith and the fire of their worship, of our worship. So what would it look like for us if we all took Moses' words seriously, like as if that charge was for us as well, not to forget the Lord? If we developed this habit of remembering the Lord's benefits in our lives, what would even our Sunday morning gatherings look like if we all began to coach our souls up to praise like David did in Psalm 103? If in preparation of worship each week, we just began to recall all that God had done for us. See, we can't let our emotions and our circumstances be the deciding factor in if we are actually going to worship God. Our emotions are too fragile and all over the place for that, right? Hebrews 13:15 says, through him, so through Jesus, then let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Through Jesus, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise. And it's a sacrifice of praise because we do it even when we don't feel like it. And that doesn't mean that if we praise God when we don't feel like it, that we're being inauthentic or fake or being hypocrites. No, I think it's like the story in Mark 9 where this father, he brings his son to Jesus, hoping that Jesus will heal his son. And Jesus tells him, look, all things are possible for those who believe. And the father says, he's desperate. He says, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. And Jesus doesn't say, help your unbelief. No, you got to be 100%. Yeah, I'm not going to heal your son. No, Jesus honors the man's faith and his honesty, and he heals his son. And I think that's how it is for us in our worship too, that we can come to God. Sometimes we just have to say, God, I'm going to praise you, or I want to praise you, Lord. Help my unpraise. Help the parts of me that just aren't praising you, that don't want to praise you. Help my lack of motivation. I'm just coming with whatever we have. I mean, like we read in the Psalm 103, he remembers our frame. He knows that we are formed from the dust. And something amazing and supernatural kind of happens when we choose to worship God, even when we don't feel like it, even when our hearts aren't in it. As we begin to sing and lift our hands and proclaim and remember all that God has done, it's amazing how then our hearts and our emotions begin to be aligned with our minds, our thoughts, and what we know. Just like we see from David, what started as small praise at the beginning of the psalm that he was just trying to muster up within himself grows into abundant praise that he can't contain. He offered a sacrifice of praise, and then he chose to intentionally remember all that God had done for him. And maybe for you, you're in a season where it's easy to praise God right now, where you look forward to worshiping together every week, and you sing loud, you raise your hands, it's just full of joy, and it's not hard at all. And if that's you, thank the Lord. But I want to encourage you to prepare for the valley, to know that you won't always feel like praising God. I don't always feel like praising God, and I'm a worship leader, okay? We won't always feel like praising God. Life won't always be as good as it is for you right now, maybe. And when those tough seasons come, will you be armed and ready to remember? Do you already have the discipline of recounting God's blessings in your life? If not, I just want to encourage you, even this week, just to spend some time writing out God's blessings, how God has blessed you in the past. Maybe think about a certain situation where you really saw God work in amazing ways in your life. We need to curate this memory bank of God's blessings in our lives so that we can go to it when life gets difficult, we feel alone, and when we don't feel like praising God. But maybe today you're on the other side. You're in a worship rut. That praising God is the last thing you feel like doing, maybe even if you know you should. Maybe today you find yourself exhausted, distracted, hopeless, unmotivated. Maybe something else has been the object of your affection and your praise. I would just invite you to start just by coaching yourself up like David did. Just saying, praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name, even when it's so hard. And then begin to remember and think about how God has blessed you. How has God provided for you in the past? How has he healed you? How has he guided you? How has he shielded you? See, when David in this psalm speaks of the forgiveness of sins, of the redemption that we have from the Lord, David is seeing salvation from the Lord in black and white. He lived 1,000 years before Jesus did. It was something that he worshiped God in hope of. And yet, those of us who live in the new covenant of the gospel, we see these verses in color. We read them with thanksgiving and remembrance because we know what Jesus accomplished on the cross. We know that he defeated death. We know that by his blood that we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are slaves to righteousness. And just like those elephants who were following a path that others traveled before them, we have one who has gone before us. And we can't forget this because our remembrance leads to rejoicing. And remembrance is the fuel for the fire of our worship. Remembrance is the fuel that ignites our hearts to praise God. So do you remember what it was like to be stuck in your sin? Do you remember what it was like to not be forgiven? Do you remember what it was like to feel dirty, filthy, and stained? Do you remember what it was like to be shackled and imprisoned, to be orphaned and alone? Do you remember what it was like to feel like an exile in Egypt, to hit rock bottom? Do you remember? Because if you remember how bad it was, then it's that much sweeter when we are reminded that we are forgiven. And in that remembrance, we can't help but praise. Let's pray. And for our prayer, we're just going to spend some time. We're going to take some time just to intentionally think about and remember what God has done. Greg is going to start playing, and as he does, let's just quiet our hearts and our minds and allow the Spirit to bring to mind some of the ways that God has shown his love for us in the past. There may be a specific event or situation in your past that you have not thought about in a long time. Maybe a time where you felt especially close to God in a difficult season. And it doesn't matter if that was last week or 30 years ago, because he is the same God and he is just as good now as he was then. So I'm going to pray. And then I'm just going to give you some space as Greg plays for you to remember the Lord's goodness in your life. And then I will close us out in prayer. So Lord, remind us now of your goodness. Remind us of our need for you. Remind us of the many reasons that we have to praise you. When did God provide for you? When did God comfort you through a loss? When did you feel his presence when you were grieving? When did God guide you or give you wisdom maybe in a big decision? When did God welcome you back, maybe from a season where you had strayed away from him? And he told you, you don't have to be ashamed, you don't have to fear. Lord, we confess that we so easily forget how good you have been to us. Lord, we let our circumstances and our emotions, God, determine how much we will praise you. Get distracted and we lose focus. Lord, help us to be a people that worships you, not just based on what we feel, but based on what we know. To be a people who worships you in spirit and in truth, God. And give us clarity now to see you, to remember what you have done, and to remember who you are. And as we remember your many blessings, God, and your goodness, and your salvation, and your love for us, help us to respond in abundant praise.